Welcome back, everybody. This is Sight to the Blind. Before I get into the show, I'm going to talk about what I briefly talked about concerning the young sister who was trying to find understanding of where the real biblical lands are. I know that's difficult because people are still using old maps, old understanding, and have not yet clarified why that land in the Middle East they think and believe is the true holy and biblical land. I haven't seen anyone dive deeply into why they think that this is that land over there in the Middle East is the real land. I keep just seeing people post about it. It's going to come a day where I'm not going to shy away from attacking whoever is continuing to post lies about that land. I'm not. I'm going to do it in righteousness. I'm going to do it in truth. But nonetheless, eventually, it's going to come a time where I'm not going to care and I'm going to do it. Because it's adding to the confusion of our community, it's adding to the confusion of things that we need to set in order. I think this is the real reason why the Most High Yahuwah manifested this vote in changing Africa. It wasn't about changing America or changing Russia, changing Asia, or changing all of Europe. It was to clarify the size of Africa, which is really amazing if you understand that none of the nations of Africa really get along with each other. Africa is not unified. None of the countries are unified. But it was a powerful statement that I know became the instrument of the Most High Yahuwah to right a wrong that has been lived by us for more than 500 years. That Mercator map is just like the Gregorian calendar, 500 years old. And no one's ever attacked it. No one's ever spoke up about it. Even when we had the information, the knowledge, and the instruments to prove that Africa's true size is 14 times bigger than what it is, and the rest of the world is not, says a lot that the Most High is righting some wrongs. He is bringing his land forth. This is how we truly understand the Valley of Jehoshaphat. He is bringing the nations, the heathens that are around about, to him. He doesn't have to go to the other nations. He is spreading out judgment. Yes, the Ruachs and the fallen angels that's going to be lifted out of the bottomless pit. Yes. But at the end of the day, where do you think they're coming from? Not one prophecy, I guarantee you, not one prophecy says the bottomless pit will be opened in America, in CERN. Because I know a lot of people worry about that, CERN. I think people read into too many Japanese and Asian anime and watching too many Marvel movies and DC movies. That they have this collider and they have the ability to shred this veil and to bring something forth. But if you look at scripture, it says the bottomless pit is somewhere around the Euphrates River, the river of Parath. Where do you think that river is? You think that river is in some desert in the Middle East? The four rivers, which is something that the Virga 1411 map exposes, is a concentric ring at southern Africa and four rivers coming out of this concentric ring. They knew in the 1411, they knew then where the true Garden of Eden is. No one has ever talked about the Garden of Eden anywhere else but of Africa. All of those animals, how did those animals migrate from where you think the Mount Ararat is out in the Caucasus Mountains? How do you think that these tropical animals somehow migrated all at once into Africa? It really does disappoint me that Negroes in this country do not want to give honor and glory to the country they came from. It blows my mind. It does. It blows my mind that none has ever tried to correct until the Most High is correcting it for everyone. Everyone. Out of the 160 some countries, the American government chose no. Like, it's stupid. You don't see it for what it is. Israel chose not to vote because they were absent. So, of course, we know that the proselytes run the American government. So they told them to just say no. Try to get Negroes to fight at or be mad at so-called, quote-unquote, white supremacy because they wanted to deny Africa's true size. When I just read to you a book by Richard Jobson and his trip down the Gambia River, and they were obsessed with the genitalia of black men. The book Delectable Negro talks about the obsession with the slave traders' appetite by eating slaves. The movie Amistad, they didn't tell you that the revolt, the real reason behind that revolt is because the slaves were scared because they knew the Englishman, the European, was eating the slaves. That's why they really revolted. That is in the book. Their obsession with our genitalia and obsession with our women. The obsession with building bases in Niger, building bases in a biblical city called Agadez, which they changed the name of it to fit whatever narrative they tried to push. But Agadez was in Africa long before Niger or any country ever came into fruition. And now they called it Agdez. These people are so stupid. They want to be exposed. And the fact that we are not taking more of an attitude to expose them does say a lot. It does say a lot that people are not truly for the truth. They are truly for whatever makes everybody else comfortable. If you really was for the truth, this is where we end at. We end at the real land. So if the land is being exposed right now to being 14 times larger than what it is, then you must know that the resources is even 7 times bigger. The diamond mines, the gold mines, the reserves, the uranium, the element in which they make these cell phone batteries out of, you would have to also understand that that resource is 7 times bigger than what it is. The steel, the ore, the copper, the brass, all of it is a lot larger than what we think now because we know the true size. And you truly believe, really, you truly believe as a Negro yourself, you truly believe that the land that the Most High has given us to bless all the righteousness and uprightness of the men that served him and our bloodline, he's going to give them a land now we know is much smaller, probably much smaller than New Jersey. That's what you're trying to tell me compared to how large Africa is? You truly don't read Jubilees and what our blessings were considering that land. We had the whole land of Eden, Shem, forever. That's what it was before Abraham got it or was told that was the promise that he was going to get this land. Shem was given the whole land of Eden. Ham was given the whole land to the right side of Eden. So you would understand that it travels all the way down to the right side. And that's exactly how the Israelites got there for 40 years. Now, 40 years looks like now we understand the size. We understand that 40 years took a long time out of that land now. Now it looks right compared to going 40 years to that small land that houses giants and about 5 or 6 other Hamitic tribes. And they also had their own kingdoms, their own kings, their own queens, their own land. And their people had their own wine presses. They had their own wheat farms. They had their own, you might as well say barns and farms. They had their own livestock, and they needed to be spread out. How can you do all this in the middle of a desert with very low vegetation? There should be more Europeans mixing and blood mixing if that's where all those Hamitic tribes were. At that point, the Hamitic tribes, the Jebusites, the Perizzites, the Hittites, they were all been watered down. They would have been watered down because their closeness with the rest of the other nations that are around about them. Greece, Rome, Turkey, Antioch. So I'm going to go back again. Zechariah chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. I lifted up my eyes again and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. Then said I, whither do you go? And he said unto me, to measure Jerusalem, to see what the breadth thereof is, and what is the length thereof. And behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him, and said unto him, run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls. Towns without walls. Towns without walls. If you can deep dive into any topic and subject or anything you so choose, why have you not deep dived into the fact that the Fort Antonia is that Roman fort that the proselytes built Jerusalem around? It is a fort. There's always been a fort. And there's walls all the way around about it. So somebody's lying, either you or the Most High. And I doubt that the Most High is lying. Run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls for the multitude of men and cattle therein. For I say, Yahuwah will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her, using the elements as a wall. Just as I told you, in southern Africa, there is a current. I forgot the name of the current. There's a current that manipulates the temperature of the air and the water in such a way that it causes a barrier alongside West Africa, southern West Africa, that no ships can land or port on that side. Alas, alas, come forth and flee from the land of the north, says Yahuwah, for I have spread you abroad as the four winds of the heavens, says Yahuwah. Alas, alas, come forth and flee from the land of the north. Now, when and where did the children of Yisrael ever become slaves and lived amongst Europeans? Where is the knowledge and understanding? Where are the books? You trying to tell me all of Yisrael, every single tribe, went north out of that fake land, out of to stay up in Russia, to stay up in Europe, to stay up in Greece, to stay up in Italia? You trying to tell all of Yisrael went there? All of them. Alas, alas, come forth and flee from the land of the north. And this is talked about in multiple parts of scripture. Because the real land is in southern Namibia, that means the Persians are north of southern Namibia. The Assyrians are north from southern Namibia. Babylon is north of southern Namibia. There is also a prophecy in the scripture that says, when the Grecians made us slaves, that we were removed far from our border. Removed far. The land in the Middle East compared to the distance to Rome or to Greece is not far. It is not far at all. to be removed far from my border is the land in which I keep saying where it is, the location. Deliver yourself, O Zion, that dwell with the daughter of Babel. For thus says Yahuwah Sabaoth, after the glory he has sent me unto the nations which spoiled you. For he that touches you touches the apple of his eye. For behold, I will shake my hand upon them, and they shall be a spoil to their servants. And ye shall know that Yahuwah Sabaoth has sent me. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion. For lo, I come and I dwell in the midst of you, says Yahuwah. And many nations shall be joined to El Yahuwah in that day, and shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of you, and you shall know that Yahuwah Sabaoth has sent me unto you, and Yahuwah shall inherit Yehuda, his portion, in the Holy Land, and shall choose Yerushalayim again. And one of the things I was reading, other than trying to find out the land of the north, was Zechariah 3, 1 through 4. It says, and he showed me Yahusha, the high priest, standing before the angel of Yahuwah, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. No one's really ever talked about that, that this dream or this vision that Zechariah saw, and it had to do with concerning Yahusha or Joshua. And Yahuwah said unto Satan, Yahuwah rebukes you, O Satan, even Yahuwah that has chosen Yerushalayim rebukes you. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now, who was Satan accusing? Accusing Joshua or Yahusha? And you pretty much can guess what Satan was accusing Yahusha for or Joshua for was all that he did unto the Canaanites. So it made it seem to Satan that Yahuwah has a people that he allows to do whatever they want. Control, take down, and be judgment to whoever he want. So Satan must have saw within himself, like, all right, all I need is a people, and I'll let them do whatever and anything they want, as long as they serve me. So this is the reason why the proselytes are being preserved the way they're being preserved. This is the reason why they've gotten a hand in controlling various nations and various nations' economic standing or stability. This is why they're put in these positions. All you can do is read the scriptures and see where Satan gets it from. You know how embarrassing for somebody who wanted to be like the Most High and get cast down in the midst of humans? Where humans are going to eventually usurp his authority and be welcomed into heaven, where he himself will never ever get to see paradise again. And he's going to be thrown and cast out into the depths of Sheol, in the depths of hell. You know how incredibly upset you would be if you thought you were more shiny, more beautiful, more glorious than the Most High himself? Like I said, Satan is the very first person to exhibit daddy issues. The very first. So you see all his little minions underneath him have the same insecurities, the same obsessions, and the same flaw in character. So you see the world the way it is right now, it's only because of the embarrassing that Satan has gotten in scripture. Abraham embarrassed him. Yahusha embarrassed him. And now Joshua is embarrassing him based on his deed and his obedience to the Most High Yahuwah and removing wicked nations, basically removing Satan's work. One man in his 80s, removing Satan's work. And Joshua couldn't be moved. Steadfast, strong. He didn't really need to be tempted by Satan. That's how strong in faith Yahusha or Joshua was. It says, now Yahusha was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spoke unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused your iniquity to pass from you, and I will clothe you with the change of raiment. Doing all this in front of Satan. So yeah, this is the reason why Satan and the proselytes are so hot for us that they need to make an alliance with us, because now they can no longer trodden us down. Now those curses are being reversed. Now they have to pretend to be a friend. And to use what Malcolm X said, it's almost like the analogy he meant with the fox and the wolf. Now they have to be somewhat loving to us. Now they have to confuse us. Now we have to, they have to get us on their side by pitting us against the white man. That's what they're trying to do, which is really absurd to me, because these proselytes are white too. They really believe that in themselves that they are a different race, and that's only because of the choosing of Satan. Because obviously the Most High has chosen us, not because we're black, but because we have come from a particular person who happens to be Negro. So if we're destroying Hamites, it looks like to Satan, like, oh, they're a separate race. They are a separate people. So I'm going to have a separate people, even though they look and act like the rest of the world who are Europeans. The imitation always comes before the masterpiece. And Satan's imitation will be on fire, will be washed out, so the masterpiece can again rule on this earth. Now, I wanted to get into the thoughts. If you remember a couple of episodes, I think it's more than a couple of episodes, I had a show called Be Clean, which was to show the pureness or the cleansiness that we must have when we give our offering. Your hands must be clean. Your deeds must be clean. And the reason why the Most High wanted the Israelites to offer day by day, in the morning, in the evening, is to make sure they understood the covenant in keeping their hands and deeds clean, their works clean. Now, where does the works and having your hands clean come from? It comes from the heart and it comes from your thoughts. So I'm going to talk about the thoughts of man and how we can remain pure and clean. And I know that's difficult, especially in this generation, to do, because there are a lot of thoughts come from our engagement with social media, our engagement with what's on the television, and our engagement with the world. Yeshayahu 55:6-11. It says, "Seek ye Yahuwah while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto El Yahuwah, and he will have mercy upon him. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts." So even when Yahusha talked about, if you thought about cheating and that thought goes into your heart, you have committed adultery. If you thought about murdering somebody and that thought enters your heart, you're guilty of murdering somebody. So it starts with your mind. So what Paul says, and I'm gonna get to that later, the renewing of your mind. "But let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto El Yahuwah, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our Elohim, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says Yahuwah." And we must be absolutely thankful for that. Thankful for that. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not thither, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that make it give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing wherefore I sent it." Be glad that we serve Yahuwah in the way we serve him, and are obedient to the way he calls us to be obedient to him, because he is not an Indian giver. Now he has repented of the destruction he once had over other nations and also us, but he has the power to repent. He has the power to do that. But when he gives us promises, he's not recanting those promises like man would recant promises. I mean, he wouldn't have to. He don't really require anything. He doesn't require all of us to make it into heaven. He stresses the word few. Few. The few I am worried about. The few I will rejoice over. He never said that he felt bad because the multitude would perish. Nowhere in scripture that he says that. He cares more about the few that have beat this world or overcome this world. And like I said, we are lucky that we don't have an Indian giver as a God. Even though the scripture says he giveth and he taketh away. But that's all due to our actions. It's all due to our faith, our purpose in this world. So yeah, it can easily be taken from you if you are not taking advantage of the grace, mercy, and long-suffering that is afforded to you. It can be taken away from you so you can open your eyes, the same way he opened Job's eyes. When Job said, yeah, I know the Most High, until he was tested. Then it became, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's happening. Why did he do this to me? Why am I being destroyed? Oh, just kill me now. I don't want to do this. Like, he didn't understand. And he got exposed for not understanding. But just as the Most High has giveth and taketh away, he also has the power to give it 10 times as much that was taken away. So the thoughts of man are definitely not the ways of the Most High. Even if we tried to understand the Most High Yahuwah, we will never be able to understand him in the way that he would want us to understand him, unless he truly came down and we walk with him, talk with him, and him giving us the knowledge from his mouth, personally, and not from a prophet, not from scripture, but from himself. Genesis 6, 5 through 7. And Yahuwah saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And Yahuwah repented that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. That one of his creations, do not look or seek to worship and honor him, after had making him, grieved at his heart. It's for somebody who made this entire world in 7 days his time, and 7,000 years our time. All the things that we see and we take for granted, because we're more in fear of man, we're more in fear of doctrines, we're more in fear of people than we actually are of him. I can understand why he said he is being grieved at his heart, because he understood then, from the very first child, Cain, what will become man after. He only needed that one example of, like, okay, they're going to struggle. They're going to become snares and stumbling blocks unto themselves because of their mind, because of their thoughts. He didn't say because of their deeds were evil. He didn't say because their hands were unclean. He knew where it started from. It started from your thoughts. I wish more people would understand your thoughts control your actions. No one has ever done anything blindly. No one has ever done anything, oh, I subconsciously did it. You are conscious because it enters your brain. Even when you crash out, I guarantee you, because I'm not talking just specifically to you guys. The people in this world who crash out, and you've seen it all online, people who key and scratch up their lovers' cars or paint it, or go show up to their houses. Or I seen one girl who got exposed because she didn't tell her man that she worked at Magic City, which is a strip club in Atlanta. So she showed up unannounced. He already had a girl in the house. And she said, you know what, I'm going to go to the back. And this girl jumped through the back window head first. And literally, after she just got off work. So I guarantee you she must have been arguing with him all throughout work when he found out that she worked as a stripper. And she tried to, of course, deflect it and say it wasn't a big deal. And then the girl got on the ringtone of the door cam and said, "Are you going to tell this girl to leave?" That set her off. So she ran around the back of the house, and literally the camera showed her jumping through the whole damn window. Never in life have I ever seen this type of behavior. But it enters into your brain. And where did that thought come from? It came from whatever she saw on TV that women crashed out on their lovers, she imitated. I guarantee it. It's almost like a mathematical equation of all the things that you've seen in media. It enters your mind. When you're about to crash out, that is the action that comes forth, is whatever you saw in media, whatever songs you listen to. So it enters as a thought. This is why Hollywood and music is so strong of a tool into destroying man, because it's suggesting thoughts. You think you don't understand them. You think you're not really giving it power, but you are. If you're not really strong-minded, if you're a weak-minded person, every thought enters your mind, and every thought causes an emotional response to whatever comes into your mind. I know people who destroy their entire day based on thoughts. You can see the way they post, you can see the way they live their life. And it's all based on thoughts. All on social media is people's thoughts. Thoughts, 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 thoughts. Think tanks after think tanks. Dissertation after dissertation. It's all based on thought. And Yahuwah said, "I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for I repent that I have made them." Even down to the animals. Because why? Man thought in himself, "I don't only want male rectum. I don't only want female coochie. I want all rectum and coochie." So they were sinning against animals. The reason why, when Yasharel came up out of Mizraim, there had to be a covenant. It had to be a law in the Torah: do not lay with an animal. Because once you have lain with an animal, it do not want to go back to its natural purpose. And you can only imagine what offspring or what atrocity came out of making those animals pregnant through human sperm. I can't even imagine. I think it's worse than that movie Dr. Moreau Island with Val Kilmer. I guarantee you it was some ungodly nonsense. But that's what it was. It was the thoughts entering into the hearts and minds of men that the Most High, I really shouldn't have made these people. And you could pretty much see what it was in the days of Noah today. You could see it. Look at the minds of the people today. Not only are they not satisfied with having sex with their own selves, now it's getting into bestiality. Now you're hearing stories, subtle stories now. You're hearing stories like Blueface. "Oh, I put peanut butter on my penis and let the dog lick it." Little stories like that for you to laugh at. And the fact that people do laugh at it. He has a baby mama that destroyed her womb so much that the child, 3 years old, is obviously disabled through all that alcohol and drinking and drugs. But that's what enters in their minds, is the thoughts of destroying their womb. There was a young black woman that was on video actually recording herself, finding out that the child that she was going to have was a female. She took soda and a birth control pill and swallowed it right when she was having a gender reveal. Again, this is why the Most High repented for making us. He knew exactly where our minds would go. And he knew the influence from these unclean ruachs would have on our minds, because our minds were not strong enough to say no. It wasn't strong enough to bring every thought into captivity, as Paul says. Now, it doesn't matter how righteous you are, There are thoughts that enter your mind that are unrighteous. It don't matter how many scriptures, how many books, how much teaching you do, unclean and unrighteous thoughts enter every man's mind. Every man's mind. But the point is to identify why you think this way or why these thoughts enter your mind and what these thoughts are trying to do. I'm almost convinced that not every thought is mine. Because there's no way I would think this normally. Especially at a time when I'm at peace. And I think this is where most of the thoughts become very vile. It's when you're at peace. When nothing is going on. When you're not really disturbed. When you really have a calmness of ruach, all of a sudden you're blindsided with this most vile thought. And you'll be like, where did this even come from? But you don't react to it. You understand that they're all, and I said this before, beyond that veil, we truly don't know who moves around us in this veil, beyond this veil. We don't know if we have unclean ruach sitting right next to us or sitting outside our houses, yelling and screaming thoughts that we may not be able to hear, but obviously they enter in our mind. And as soon as they enter our mind, we shake it off and move on. Now, people who are weak-minded, those thoughts stay with them the entire day. And it disturbs their moods. And it eventually causes them to have a reaction or an action based on these thoughts. Jubilees 12, 20, and then I'm going to do Jubilees 1, 23 through 26. Deliver me from the hands of evil Ruach, who have dominion over the thoughts of men's hearts. Let them not lead me astray from you, my Elohim, and establishing me and my seed forever, that we may not go astray from henceforth and forevermore. Again, this is Noah complaining that these unclean ruachs, which don't have bodies, which can't be seen, but obviously they know of their presence, are causing men's hearts to go away from the Most High Yahuwah based on their thoughts. It gets so bad that Noah had to say, deliver me from the hands of evil Ruach, who have dominion over the thoughts of men's hearts. Let them not lead me astray from you, my Yahuwah, and establish me and my seed forever, that we may not go astray from you henceforth and forevermore. Jubilees 1, 23 to 26. And Yahuwah said unto Moshe, I know their contrariness and their thoughts and their stiff-neckedness, and they will not be obedient till they confess their own sin and the sin of their fathers. This is one of the main things that we had to do before we were even accepted by the Most High Yahuwah and put on this path, is take credit and put on our shoulders our entire bloodline. Regardless if we don't know them, regardless if we're alien from them, it don't matter. We take on the sins of our forefathers, the iniquity of our forefathers. Doing this relieves us of the unclean ruach that has dominion over our generational curses. This is why he told us to take the charge. He said, I know their contrariness and their thoughts and their stiff-neckedness, and they will not be obedient till they confess their own sin and the sin of their fathers. Does not Satan look to accuse, as I just read to you, that the vision of Joshua, Yahusha the priest, had Satan next to him, ready to accuse him? So the real reason why these thoughts are not being handled is because you're so worried about the accusation. The reason why your actions are not righteous, and the reason why you go back and forth into this world, because of the accusations that are within your bloodline that keep popping up in your thoughts, that's telling you, hey, they're doing it, you might as well do it. And 100 million different ways than one, they're telling you different ways for you to appease your vice and appease your sin by glossing over it, by not addressing it, by not attacking it, by not repenting and confessing it. You won't be obedient to his word until you understand the ignorance that is in your bloodline and to address your own ignorance. This is what I had to do. And I knew where my ignorance came from. I knew where my perversion came from. I knew where it came from. We all have taken on the traits of our bloodlines. And even if you didn't know your great, 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 great grandfather or your great, 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 great grandmother, you still see through your parents those genetic traits, those genes, those habits that dwell within you, that are attached to your bones. And you really can't break off those curses until you attack it within yourself first and then attack it for the rest of your bloodline. For instance, for me, myself, I look at the positive and the negative, or the silver lining. I know exactly where my stubbornness comes from. I know exactly where my violence comes from. I know because I was raised in it. So I know where it comes from. But I also know my proximity to Freemasonry. I know my proximity to Black Greek organizations. I know my proximity to whatever doctrines and oaths, even the behaviors of being in those doctrines and oaths, I was already doing. I was already propagating that behavior as if I was a Prince Hall, as if I was in a Black Greek organization, but not ever being in it, but done the same behaviors that would bring me alongside of these doctrines and oaths. It was only the Most High that created a barrier and a force field for me to not to cross over into it. But I did exactly what they do without having to get on my hands and knees and bear oaths to any God. I was already doing it. Sex and spilling blood through violence. Sex and spilling the blood, fornicating and spilling blood. Even if it was unrighteous blood, it was still blood. Sacrificing certain things to get what I want. And that used to be my thing when I, like, you know, do interviews for after college games. Oh, you know, we got to sacrifice. Hey, you got to sacrifice to get what you want. I noticed I said that a lot in most of these interviews I did as a young man in my 20s. It was always about sacrifice. See, even then, the mentality was one of a Freemason or someone that was in a Black Greek organization. So I know where that ignorance comes from, and I attacked it head on. And I know from the other side is that ignorance and stubbornness of not changing your ways or taking longer to change your ways based on truth. I know where that comes from too. I guarantee you, if you looked at your parents, if you looked at your grandparents, and as far as you can go beyond in your bloodline, if you truly looked at it and be like, this is where I get this from, this is where I get that from, I guarantee you, you'd be well off if you can attack that particular sin in order for that sin don't become a thought or go that thought become into your heart. I think a lot of you will be well off if you understood it that way. If you see, okay, this is the sin that I keep struggling with, but where did this sin come from? Oh, it came from this parent, it came from that parent, it came from this aunt, it came from this uncle, it came from this cousin, it came from that cousin. If you attack it that way, then you strip away the stronghold of these unclean ruachs that prey upon your generational bloodline. Doing so would also help whatever seed you bring into this world. So it stops with you. So the Most High don't need to visit the sins of the father from the fourth to the fifth generation because it stops with you. That's how you should look at it. That you're tired of it affecting you and you don't want to pass what has been affecting you or what you struggle with onto your seed. Because we do not know and understand the time of sowing and reaping is coming so close back behind each other. You do not want to send them into Sheol before they even get on their feet. That's how you should look at it. You should be a shield. You should be a wall for when that stuff stops. And it starts with your thoughts. And you can still see in the nation of Yisrael how stiff-necked we truly are. How we can see the truth and still gloss over it or move by it and still continue to promote and propagate lies. Still tell lies. Even when the information is there, still tell a lie. And think it's not a big deal. That's stiff-neckedness. Brothers who are following the Dead Sea Scrolls calendar, which has already been exposed that the Essenes was much more like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, that it has no revelation of Scripture, absolutely none. Absolutely none. You can't find Essenes in the Scriptures. And Essenes is a Greek word. And you can't even find the Hebraic word in Scripture either. That's like when I found, searching through the maps in Southern Africa, I found Greek names. There's a land or a town called Greka, which is a Greek word, which is a combination of European, Grecians, and Africans. If you look this up in Text on Maps in the David Rumsey's map collection and you type in Greka, G-R-I-Q-U-A, I think it's, yeah, something like that, Greka, it'll come up as a town, a destination not too far away from southern Namibia. If you look up Pella, Pella is literally right next to where biblical Jerusalem truly is. And if you look up Pella online, it say this is where they call it Judeo-Christians. Well, that doesn't even make sense. There's no such thing. It said this is where the Christians and Jews at that time escaped Roman persecution in 70 AD. They fled to this town called Pella. Even though Pella is not mentioned in Scripture, but is also mentioned in Scripture as Decapolis. Decapolis is one of the 10 cities of Grecian occupation. 10 cities. One of those cities in Decapolis was called Pella. There's Pella all over southern Africa. And when I say all over, it means this one location on all these maps that I found. That even though it doesn't have Jerusalem right there, there's Pella. There is also a river called Nero that's not too far. It's on the east side of southern Africa. So, and there's also a town called Philopolis. How do these Greek names get into southern Africa before the Dutch and Germans got down there? There was this YouTube page called Daniel Benyahu, I think his name is. And he's a big pusher of Negroes and Moors kind of mingling together. Obviously, if you look up this guy and you see who he is, he wears a fez cap, like how the Moors be wearing. And I don't know, the jury is out on if he's a Freemason or not. But he's been always pushing on his page that the Israelites came from Spain, as like all of us came from Spain. And that's just not true. Maybe some, yes. Maybe some went into Spain and were expelled and went down into Cape Verde and all that. But at the end of the day, you still have 11 soul tribes. And I know all of us didn't go through Spain. I know all of us didn't go up around Antioch, go up around Rome, go up around Greece, go into Spain, come down back into Africa. That makes no sense. That's that migration for all of us to do all that? No, I guarantee you that didn't happen the way it happened. It's like brothers are really so hard on for not recognizing Africa is the true biblical land because they, again, their stiff-neckedness keeps allowing them to push us to go from that fake land in the Middle East to go all the way up around Antioch, go up around Antioch into Spain, and from Spain get expelled and go back into Africa. That we migrated up around just to go back into Africa where we were picked up at. Now, mind you, we weren't just picked up in where you saw Negro land and the slave coast, where they called the Gold Coast. Some of us did get picked up out of Cameroon, Congo, and a little bit near southern Africa. And I have not yet seen any information being posted of how we got back into southern or middle West Africa. I haven't seen it. Because people are purposely trying to find an avenue of how that fake land is the real land, and how we migrated somehow, not going across Egypt, but somehow migrating up across Europe to come back down into Africa. That's stiff-neckedness. Knowledge shall be increased in the last days, and yet brothers are finding ways to not validate the land of Africa. If Satan deceiveth the whole entire world, what makes you think he didn't deceive the lands and the borders thereof? If we are now knowing and being told that Africa is 14 times its size, and they've been knowing this for 500 years, yet it just came out now, what makes you think they haven't been lying about the entire world? And I said this before, they made a map. They made a map a little bit before World War II was over, called A Land for the Jews. It's very easily looked up. I even posted it on Sight to the Blind, the Instagram, when I was talking about Africa being the true size that it is today. There were 10 locations in this map. And I said this before, and I must keep saying it again. Until it come a time, I'm just going to drop names, and I'm going to go after whoever keeps telling this damn lie that Israel is the real land. There were 10 locations. They chose 3 locations in Africa to call Israel. And they would have called it Israel, and we all would have believed it like some of these fools believe it today. Would have believed it today, even though the topography of the Bible is completely different than the topography of that location in the Middle East. 10 locations. They even had one location damn near in Canada. I would have been amazed if they could have found some way of saying that Canada was real biblical Yasharel, and how they were going to fit that with the Deuteronomy curses in Genesis, in Deuteronomy, but also everywhere else. How would they were going to fit that land to make it match the topography of the land that's mentioned in the Bible would have astounded me. But they chose Canada. Now, they knew exactly where the real land is because they tried to go in there 3 times. It was the only land they tried to go after 3 times. They tried to go into Southeast Africa, which ran along, I think, Zimbabwe or Uganda. And, of course, somewhere around Goshen, northern Africa, right next to Egypt, they were going to go after that land as well. Now, if they knew that Palestine was their real land, why didn't they even have a marker for it? There was nothing there. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. They didn't even consider it. They were more worried about the climate of Africa. That it was able to be inhabited by them because it would have been a little bit easier on their skin complexion. And they put that in there. If you look up this map, A Land for the Jews. I think it's 1944 or something like that. Anyways, back to Jubilees 124. And after this, they will turn to me in all uprightness with all their heart and with all their soul. And I will circumcise the foreskin of their heart and the foreskin of their heart of their seed. And I will create in them a Ruach HaKodesh, and I will cleanse them so that they shall not turn away from me from that day until eternity. And it starts with cleansing our thoughts. Cleansing our thoughts makes our heart easily to be uncircumcised. To be circumcised. Thoughts to the heart. Heart to the actions, or heart to the hands. So he knows exactly where it starts. And their souls will cleave to me and to all my commandments, and they will fulfill my commandments, and I will be their father, and they shall be my children. And they all shall be called children of the living Elohim, and every angel and every Ruach shall know, yeah, they shall know that these are my children, and that I am their father in uprightness and righteousness, and that I love them. Every angel and every Ruach shall know. Every angel and every Ruach shall know. Whether those Ruachs are clean or unclean, those Ruachs will know. It even says in future prophecies that these unclean ruachs that Mestima controls, which are the 10th that was left unto him, will be cast into the fire in the day of judgment. So there won't be no unclean ruachs mingling in the affairs of man. Just like it won't be Satan, because that's who Mestima and these unclean rocks work for. They work for Satan. So if Satan is in captivity for 1,000 years, you understand how pure our thoughts will be if we so choose to be graced with the ability to live that long, or to be in the presence of when we won't have to ever hear Satan and hear these unclean rocks thoughts and things they want to do to us. We will never be oppressed by them. I wonder what that day would feel like. I know that you have some days where you have really good days where your thoughts are, you know, your thoughts are pure. There's nothing that you worried about. There's no stress that enters your mind. Sometimes I feel it. I feel in the days of when I was a child, it just briefly, I feel it. I could be outside and a wind could gust very softly, and I'd be like, it almost feels like I was back in elementary school or back in, you know, sixth or seventh grade when I was at recess, not a care in the world. Those moments happen to me ever so often, and I can catch them. I'm like, damn, that was nostalgic. Like, when my mind is truly at ease, I guarantee you it's because I'm not being festered with these unclean rocks and what they want me to do that is vile or unrighteous. That these thoughts that they give me, they want to enter my heart so I can have a reaction or an action that'll usurp the authority of the Ruach HaKodesh over my life. I guarantee you it has happened to you too. I guarantee you when you were in this walk and it was like a brief moment of joy, whether it be 4 seconds, 10 seconds, or a minute, you felt it. And you felt like childhood. You truly felt like how Yahushua said that you must be a child to enter in the kingdom of heaven. Did you feel that joy, that weight off your shoulders just for a moment? I guarantee you it's that space between those unclean rocks not even coming near you for that time period for you to feel that way. And imagine once they get removed off this earth, removed off this plane of existence, that we feel like this always. Second Baruch 25:4. And it will come to pass when they say in their thoughts, by reason of their much tribulation, that El Elohim no longer remembers the earth, it will come to pass when they abandon hope that the time will then awake. This is what we need to prepare for, our future thoughts. This is where we ultimately see the silver lining and what's going to happen. That it must happen. It must come into fruition. These things, as Yahushua said, must come to pass. I'll read it again. It will come to pass when they say in their thoughts, by reason of their much tribulation, that Yahuwah no longer remembers the earth. Yeah, it will come to pass when they abandon hope that time will then awake. So when everybody is pissing and moaning, when everybody's complaining, when everybody's a victim of circumstance, when everybody's trotting their own selves down or making themselves a stumbling block to their own plans, you should know, prepare for that time to awake where all hell will break loose. Right now, we're moving the chains of our Ruach to be able to withstand certain tribulations now. This is why the Most High woke some of us up early to go through our own stumbling blocks, our own snares. So when the world starts, we know how to handle it. Because if you can handle yourself, you can handle the rest of the world. I think no one is more harsher than the person who's dealing with their own sins, dealing with their own stumbling blocks, dealing with their own vices. When you learn how to deal with yourself, dealing with other people seems fairly easy because you know where their mind is and you can understand it from you relating to the struggles that you went through, what people will struggle with in the end times. They will struggle with ego. They will struggle with pride. They will struggle with stiff-neckedness. They will struggle with stubbornness. They will struggle with vice. All the things that you've conquered and you were hard on yourself for, and your bloodline, you will see it manifest itself in those who truly need help but won't get help because they truly do not want to accept the Most High Yahuwah or His Son as a way to relieve themselves of these pains and tribulations. 2 Baruch 48:38-41. And it shall come to pass at that selfsame time that a change of time shall manifestly appear to every man, because in all those times they polluted themselves and they practiced oppression and walked every man in his own works and remembered not the Torah of the Most High. Therefore a fire shall consume their thoughts, and in flame shall the meditations of their mind be tried. For the judge shall come and will not tarry. Because each of the inhabitants of the earth knew when he was transgressing, but my Torah they knew not by reason of their pride. But many shall then assuredly weep, yea, over the living more than over the dead. Therefore a fire shall consume their thoughts, and in flame shall the meditations of their mind be tried. This is why you need to bring every thought now and practice into captivity. So those thoughts don't enter your heart and they don't come out your mouth. A lot of you get in trouble for what comes out of your mouth because you can't control what comes into your mouth. I mean, it comes into your brain or comes out of your thoughts. So if you are living unrighteously and you are polluting yourselves through the works of your own hands, and especially with the way this world is going, where evil is good and good is evil, you can only imagine the imaginations of man's minds, just like the minds in the days of Noah, the thoughts in the days of Noah, where men's minds were going, how they were evil continually, not even pausing or breaking, but continually evil. You can see how everything is going back to the days of Noah and how everyone is going to be inflamed for whatever comes across their mind. And because of the media and the music is crash out music and crash out media, I guarantee you that is what you need to prepare for when dealing with people. Everybody's going to be upset. People are going to be pissed. And the first inclination of disrespect, they are going to crash out. You need to start learning how to keep your mouth shut and walk away from certain things and certain people. That do not give your energy to these people, because it's already too late. It is already too late. The judge shall come and it will not tarry. Do not stand in the place of sinners and do not stand in the place of judgment. You cannot help these people. I'm telling you, when you see, you start to witness and understand that people's ruachs are being changed overnight, guarantee you, you need to start stepping back. Relationships that you have, if you are in unrighteous relationships, or if you're in a relationship that is equally unyoked, I guarantee you, if she is not tied into that Torah, or if he is not tied into that Torah, you need to start preparing yourself in order to say, either sanctify them or separate yourself from them. He says, but many shall then assuredly weep, yeah, over the living more than over the dead. You're watching people be zombies. They're not dead, but their thoughts are dead. Their works are dead. Their righteousness is dead. You're going to feel sorry for people who just don't get it and will never get it. That's what weeping over the living is. You'll see these people destroy themselves merely by their thoughts. And the reason why they're being destroyed by their thoughts, because all the crash out media that they are absorbing, and the fact that they have to deal with the consequences of their own actions and choosing for themselves not to follow the Torah, but follow religion. If you read, again, Albert Pike's Three World War letter in 1871, the Third World War was based on religion, how the Zionists and Islam are going to mutually wipe themselves out or bring themselves to exhaustion through war, and anyone disillusioned with Christianity will accept the pure doctrine of Luciferianism, which means Catholics too, because you need chaos in order to get Hegelian dialectic into Luciferianism. Again, if you have never read the verse that the Most High is going to allow the earth to abandon hope, just know they're going to give a false imitation of hope first. Like I said, the imitation comes before the masterpiece. So you get this fake imitation of hope. That's going to be the Luciferian doctrine. They're going to say, hey, we'll stop this chaos. We'll stop what you see right now if you worship this beast. If you just get this mark. If you just show honor to the beast, we'll make this stop. That's what Hegelian dialectic means. It means I give you the disease. Then I also give you the cure, which is really isn't a cure. It's just masking the disease. That's it. That's how they work in this world. They give you, they purposely give you the illness. They give you the symptoms. And then they'll tell you, oh, we got the cure to cure you of these symptoms. Take this. And out of desperation and out of the abandoning of hope, people will take it, which is really the mark. Oh, you don't want to be hacked? Oh, you want to make sure your money is in the bank? You want to make sure that the grid doesn't go down again? Please take this mark and everything is in your body. You don't have to rely on blackouts, which are already promoting. They're already promoting it. Florida State and SMU had a football game recently, and the stadium went black. Some of the lights went out. So they're telling you, they're flicking the lights on and off. They're telling you, oh, the power grid's going to go down. Hey, you might as well put that battery in your skin. That way you know you'll never get shut off. But they can eventually find a way to shut that off too. If you be like, I got this mark, but now I don't want this mark, they'll shut it off. Now you can't use it for anything. But this is what they're setting up the ignorant people of the world for. The people who don't know. And the people who aren't caused. Who the Most High hasn't caused for them to know. And to speak more on that, about these blackouts. You'll know when it's time to start storing up resources. You'll know when it's time for you to get a generator. You'll know when it's time. It's the same way when Yahushua said they're going to drag you into the synagogue for my name's sake. Don't worry about what you're going to say. You'll know at the time when you're about to say it. And when I will give you the words in which you should say to the people who drag you into these synagogues. So Yahushua said, at the time of your testing of faith, don't worry about what you're going to say. Don't even try to formulate a sentence or how you can sound righteous to your enemy. Don't worry about it. I'll give you the words. So that's why I'm not jumping in and rustling, trying to store up resources. The Most High will tell me. Yahushua will tell me through the Ruach HaKodesh, okay, it's time to start preparing. I'll know that. That's what I'm listening for. Over top all the other thoughts that go in and out of my mind, I'm listening to get ready. That's what I'm listening for. In order for me to hear that means my works got to be clean. My hands got to be clean. My deeds got to be clean. My offerings got to be clean. My path has to be clean. What I pay attention to has to be clean. That's why I don't pay attention to a whole lot. That's why I don't care about a whole lot. I'm literally, my mind is on standby. Standby. And the less I care about this world, and the less I care about the things that are in it, the more I can hear the Most High's and Yahushua's voice clearly. That's the battle plan. That's the game plan. That's the entire playbook. That I don't care about what goes on in this world other than me just trying to free other minds out of the prisons of this world so they can see the truth for what it is. Other than that, I don't care. I'm on standby listening and waiting for when the Most High tells me, hey, start moving. Move to the left. Move to the right. Start getting this. Start looking into that. That's what I do when I get an overly rushed sense of thoughts that enter my mind. I try to weed out what the Most High is preparing me to hear. I don't know how people ever listen to what the Most High tells them if they're always preoccupied with idleness. Idleness means works are things that don't matter to the kingdom. How can you ever be sure? How can you ever be at rest or at peace or prepared if the thoughts of your mind is everywhere? And those thoughts add to your heart, and their heart adds to whatever works or whatever things you add on to that, that affects your emotions, that affects what you do for the Most High, what you don't do for the Most High. All of that affects you. So my advice to sum up this entire episode was to care less. Care less. Truly. How is the Most High supposed to try your faith and try your mind if your mind is never on Him? He knows what you're giving fear to. He knows what you're giving honor to. He knows what you're giving attention to. And the Most High is not going to compete with the thoughts of the world compared to the thoughts of Him. He's not going to compete. He's going to allow you, just like He has the Israelites time and time again, allow them to dig a hole for themselves, to get into that hole, and be like, oh, okay, now you're down there. How did you get down there? And you have to confess your sins and to confess your sins of your fathers. But, oh, I've gotten down here because my ancestors keep putting me in a position where I keep going down here. And because I keep giving honor and glory and attention to things that don't matter and I don't give them to you, this is why I'm in this hole. Please get me out of this hole. And then He gets you out of this hole. And then you go a couple more weeks, a couple more years, a couple more days. And then you find yourself in the same hole again. And He'll be like, look, why are you in this hole? Oh, because my thoughts weren't on you. This is why I'm in this hole. I'm in fear of something that doesn't even affect me or affect you. This is why I'm in this hole. And all you think about, all the times your bloodline had led you into this hole, then he got to get you out of this hole again. And you keep repeating the process to eventually the last hole you fall into is the hole of Sheol. So when I say care less, start focusing on the things that are of Him, for Him, and by Him. Doing so removes you from all these other issues that everybody else will, sure enough, are going to have because they don't have the source. They don't have the resource connected to the Ruach of peace, the Ruach of understanding and knowledge. And I'll end it with this, Mark 7. And I'll end it with some Romans 12. But Mark 7, 18 through 23, it says, and He said unto them, are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing comes from without enters into the man, it cannot defile him, because it enters not into his heart, but into the belly, and goes out in the drought, purging all food? And He said, that which comes out of the man, that defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. Thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. Fornications, murders, adulteries. These are thoughts. He's not even talking about actions yet. He said these are thoughts. We are all guilty of these thoughts. Our filter, our buffer is not to let these thoughts enter our hearts. When they start entering our hearts, they start to disturb our actions. They disturb our walk in this path. We all have these thoughts. Like I said before, I mentioned this in a joke a lot of episodes ago, that when you're on a righteous path, your top 10 ESPN greatest moments of sin pop up in your mind and you just replay and be like, started at number 10. Hey, when you were out here doing this with this so-and-so person, and it goes number 9 and number 8. And then when you get to number 1, it festers. Your old life festers of when you were sinning. And that only happens when you're on a true righteous path. Again, just like Satan accuses the nation of Yashareel, accuses Job, accuses Abraham, accuses Joshua. This is what those top 10 highlights of sin is. It's the accusation that why are you trying to be something that you're not? You should be able to do this, 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 and this, this. Look how fun you had. Look how much fun you had when you were doing this, 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 and this, and this. Let me remind you of all the fun you used to have. You remember this fun? This is the number one fun that you used to have. Remember this fun? Go back to this fun. So it's the thoughts. It's the thought of adultery. It's the thought of fornicating. It's the thought of murder. It's also the thought of pride, foolishness, and blasphemy. I can tell you when I got called out for blasphemy with the Most High, and I think it was like a couple of feast days ago, and this is when I was unmarried, and the only people that was in my house was Jalen and I. And I was leaving, or I was struggling in the relationship I had before this one. And I kept blaming the Most High Yahuwah for why you allow this woman to enter into my life, and it's causing nothing but struggles, you know, stubbornness, and my ruach is all over the place because of this woman, trying to get this woman on the proper path. And I blame Yahuwah for it. And so my daughter was reading scripture and was preparing for a feast day. And I think it was a Day of Atonement too, Yom Kippur. So she came to me and said, what's this word mean? And this was really after I had already prayed this prayer, blaming the Most High for not fixing this situation. So she comes to me and says, what's this word? And she was in the book of Genesis, and she didn't understand the word blasphemy. So right then I was like, yep, I'm caught. So I told her what the word means, and then I went right back and repented for what I was saying. And he understood why I was frustrated. He understood that I didn't want a house unequally yoked. He understood that, but it was the way I was going about it. That the process in which I was going through, he wanted me to understand that patience, time, understanding, mercy, long-suffering, grace, are also attributes that are his that also can be ours. I didn't understand it then, but I understand it more now. That is what he was preparing me for. He was preparing me as a husband. Because my father didn't really prepare me as a husband, he prepared me as a man who was playing a sport, but he didn't prepare me as a husband. Yah had to prepare me as a husband. So these are the things I went through in my previous relationship to prepare me for what I was going to see now. So he wanted to make sure my thoughts were right, and that my thoughts is what he heard also. Even now, I have to shake myself out of certain thoughts that are caused to think. And some of it is vengeance. Some of it is wrath. Some of it is unrighteousness. I don't think any of it has ever been murder. I don't think I dislike somebody enough to murder them. But it does thoughts of when I see these Prince Hall Freemasons and I see these artists and I see these athletes pushing this symbolism. Yeah, I do feel that we should be able to do to them that Joshua or Yahusha did to Achan in the Valley of Achor. I'm pretty sure you know that story of Achan took the accursed items and he tried to hide it under his tent. And Joshua told him to bring it forth, and he brought it forth, and they burned him, his family, and all of his belongings in the Valley of Achor. I feel like that's what we should be able to do to these Prince Hall Freemasons because of their pride, because of their arrogance and worshiping Satan, and also being the cucks of these proselytes, these European proselytes, the Ashkenazi proselytes. I do have a problem with them, but not enough to see them murdered. To see their asses beat up? Yeah, probably. Me being the one to do it? Yeah. But until that day, I can't really move. As much as I want to be the battle axe for the Most High Yahuwah, I can't really move on anything until he gives me the green light, or I'm setting my own self up for destruction. But those are the thoughts that go in and out of my mind, is that I'm sick and tired of seeing Negroes being retarded and being stupid. That also. And I really do, it's going to come to a time, I'm going to crash out on this. I'm going to just forewarn you. I'm going to crash out on this show because I'm getting tired of people keep telling lies about scripture. That's going to eventually happen. Eventually that will happen. I'm not going to do it unrighteously. I'm going to try to do it as righteous as I can. But it needs to happen. Because I'm tired of people misusing scripture for their own flights of fancy or their own little fairy tales. I'm tired of their foolishness. And I'm exposing it as foolishness. So I'm giving them time and space to clarify their stance on certain things before I go in. But I'm gonna go in. And I'm going to end it with Romans 12, 1 through 3. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Elohim, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto Yahuwah, which is your reasonable service. Not just your body, not just your works, not just your hands, but your heart, your mind, your thoughts, everything goes into that. Even what comes out of your mouth. By the mercies of Yahuwah, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice without blemish, without spot. And I said this in the last episode. If you had to offer yourself upon the altar of Yahuwah, that golden altar with the showbread and the menorah standing by, would you be accepted? Would you be an offering without blemish and without spot? Not just your deeds, not just your works, but your thoughts and what goes in and out of your mouth and your heart. Would you be accepted? And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Yahuwah. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Constantly renewing your mind means you're constantly keeping your thoughts in captivity so those unrighteous thoughts do not enter your heart. So you can prove what is good and acceptable and perfect, which is the will of the Most High Yahuwah Sevaah. But it says don't be transformed. And it's hard to be not transformed by this world because what you see and absorb, it's hard not to. There's more messages being told to you in various different ways, and even ways that make you bob your head to. There's so many messages being told to you that eventually, the more you listen to it, it eventually transforms you. It transforms your thought process and how you react to certain things. You're not getting told the book of Genesis, the book of Sirach, Enoch. You're not being told these messages on an everyday basis. You have to read them. You have to actively search them out. But all unrighteousness, all fears, all victimhoods, all consequences, those are being told to you in every message in 400 to 500 different ways. Some of it with a beat, some of it in a beautiful meme, some of it in a joke. You're being told different messages throughout your day, throughout your week, throughout your years, where the messages sound good, and eventually, over time, it does transform you. This, again, goes why I say care less. When certain things come up, don't care about it. No matter if it's relative to your situation or not, don't care about it. Because it's aimed at transforming your mind. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as Yahuwah has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Think soberly. Your thoughts need to be sober. If you are drunk off this world, if you are drunk off yourself, if you are drunk off your victim card, if you're drunk off consequence, if you're drunk off vice, if you're drunk off fornicating, if you're drunk off thieving and covetousness, if you're drunk off foolishness, I guarantee you that will be your end. Grace is given to you to do whatever you want to do with that. But I guarantee you, you're going to affect your joy, you're going to affect your happiness, and you're not going to understand for yourself that sliver of moments, that sliver of time that you are given, that little bit of joy where you truly have rest with your mind and your thoughts and your heart together for that little moment, that little recess that you get that brings you back to childhood, that nostalgic feeling that you feel when you truly feel at ease. You put that in jeopardy because you care more about what's going on in this world than you care about the Most High Yahuwah. If he controls he has the ability to control minds, harden hearts, control hearts, uncircumcised hearts. Why not go to him and rest all of your worries and cares on him? Why do you take upon yourself the worries and cares of this world, which you cannot control, which you cannot, fix yourself? Because you accepted this Torah, so you accepted the ability not to be left empty-handed. That you are given the Ruach HaKodesh that most people don't have. You're given the Ruach to decipher for yourself what you're going to turn your attention to. There are people in this world that do not have the Ruach HaKodesh, and they bounce from wall to wall, topic to topic, issue to issue, trying to find their footing and joy and peace within this world when this world is being turned upside down, right before their eyes. And they're struggling trying to find their place in it and their peace in it when evil is called good and good is called evil. They're trying to find a Masonic balance, which is the whole thing about duality. They're trying to find a Masonic balance where they belong. And they're finding out that they do not belong in this world. But they have no other options and no other way, and they have no other discernment to discern the times where they truly need to search and seek help. Don't be that person. I'm telling you, the time is going to come when you're really going to see what people who are around you are really made of when they are not connected to the source of the Most High Yahuwah. You're going to see it. You're going to see the sickness and the illness of these people's minds, and they're going to think that they're normal. They're going to think actually you are the problem. They're going to start turning on you. It's like the reason why they can't get nowhere because you aren't helping them, or you are the problem, or your deeds and your works are different from theirs, and why they can't understand it, but you can understand it. I'm telling you, if you are in one of these relationships, or you in one of these situationships, or you're in one of these friendships where you even suspect that the person you are around could do you bodily harm or usurp or try to usurp the authority over your life with the Ruach HaKodesh, if you believe that these people could bring you into jeopardy, start separating yourselves now, or start pulling away and start observing. Maybe don't go to the bar with them to have that drink. Maybe not sit out on the balcony and smoke that weed. Maybe don't go fornicate with this girl late at night. Maybe not do none of those things. I'm telling you, the time is coming when the reaping and sowing is coming back to back, and coming back to back quicker than it was in the time before we woke up. I'll see you next time.